Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The number one podcast. Hello and welcome back to the number one podcast, the little goalkeeping podcast hosted by two absolute nerds. I am Lloyd Griffith, comedian, wannabe goalkeeper, douchebag, and this is David Priest. Say hello, David.
Hello, Lloyd.
Do you want to say what your titles are? What would you say?
Got all day, man. Do you know what I mean? Just it's
ex-goalkeeper.
Raconteur.
Pundit.
Yeah, whatever.
Beard,
yeah. Cool. Well, not in the metaphorical sense, though.
No, not in the metaphorical sense, but look at beard. We've been away. We've been doing all sorts again. This has been a bit more sporadic than last season. Both busy people.
Just can't get in the same city at the same time.
We can't, no. But we are in a city. We're actually in my house at the moment, in West London. We've just been filming for the Premier League show.
Yeah. Comedy play as well.
Well, no.
It does. It clearly does.
No, I've got a lovely girlfriend who does well. We've just recorded the Premier League show, and so we thought we'd do a podcast after this. So we're just going to be touching on a few little bits and bobs. It was fun, wasn't it? We went down to Brentford.
It was, yeah. It was going to be on. I think it's not. It's going to be next week before the next round of Premier League games on Thursday night.
So look out for that. We'll obviously be tweeting about it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all your lovely, nice tweets, etc., etc., etc. What have you been up to, David? Tell me.
A little bit of everything. Just watching a lot of football. I've been last week. I was at Watford's training ground with Aurelio Gomez and Ben Foster.
Yeah,
that was really interesting. Watching them train and chatting to them, just about goalkeeping, doing a little sort of film. Just trying to get into it's kind of a masterclass, but just trying to get them to explain goalkeeping to, rather than people sitting listening to me all the time bang on about wrong hands and that. It's just to get them get the views of people like that, top class goalkeepers, and I said, it was great watching them. I mean,
what are they like?
Great. Ben Foster is one of them. He's very lively.
Is he?
You're very lively, yeah. And great bloke. And Aurelio is... I'm not sure whether I'm supposed to call him Aurelio or Gomez, because everyone calls him Gomez, but I went for Aurelio. And I don't know, it was too formal or...
But he'll probably, to be fair, probably didn't understand a word you said anyway. No offence.
No, he didn't.
So he was like, oh yeah, whatever.
But I tell you what though, for a 37-year-old man...
You've got a Rolex.
I've got a Rolex.
Oh, absolutely. Talk about the house, mate. You've got an house on your hands. Anyway, go on.
Aurelio Gomez. For a 37-year-old man, he looks in the shape of his life.
He's mad, isn't it?
Before him, he looks quite, I don't know, like, not heavy set, but he looks a big bloke, but he looks so trim, more so this season.
Yeah.
I know he's 37, but... He's far from done, by the way. And watching him in training, he looked great as well.
Going back to Foster, I went to the Man United Watford game a few weeks back at Vicarage Road, and we got the train on the way back. We had a few beers afterwards, so we got the train not immediately after, and Ben Foster got on the same train and was in the next carriage. I didn't say anything because I don't want to be like a little weird fanboy. But he's so tall.
Do you know what?
He's a big lad, isn't he? He's not like
deceptively big. I
mean, really, really big.
I've played against him a couple of times, but I've not really sort of met him in a chat deal, like, you know. But he is. He's sort of like sort of big shoulders, and it's. I know we keep going on. We've said it today about you don't have to be huge, be a goalkeeper, but. Tell you what, it helps.
It does help. We are recording this in my house. We've got some different recording equipment, so sorry if it doesn't sound like the normal quality.
Yeah, it's a little bit echoey.
But we're in my kitchen. But we're getting some new sound equipment, so we can just do this on the go. What we'll be doing today, we'll be looking just what's been happening in the Premier League, as we always do, and not really looking at individual games per se, just talking about how teams are doing. If we look at the league, Man City and Chelsea and Liverpool, all on 20 points at the moment, all got, I'd say, three of the best keepers in the Premier League. And they're all smashing it. Yeah. They're all absolutely smashing it. One of them, Edison, obviously, this is his second season at Manchester City. Chelsea and Liverpool, first seasons for Kepa, and for Alisson.
Kepa the keeper,
and Alisson the absolute beautiful specimen of a human.
Lovely.
They're all smashing it, aren't they?
Yeah. Sort of Kepa and Alisson haven't really taken much time to adjust to the Premier League. Kepa sort of... you can't even call him teething troubles. I mean, he made a fantastic save at the weekend. Normally he's tipped over his left hand.
Yes, that was mad.
Where the ball moved a little bit. But they've looked really composed. And of course, if you're spending that sort of money, you expect players to go straight in and look the business. But it doesn't always happen like that. But I think they're all looking great. I mean, we've got to speak about Hugo Lloris in a bit. But yeah, those three are certainly smashing it.
Just from the weekend, obviously Man City played Liverpool. And they got a penalty and it went over. And there was a lot of talk afterwards about the goalkeeping coach telling Alisson where to go. And it was quite funny because he basically put his back to Alisson and just pointed the way that he'd be going. And Alisson went that way and Mahrez obviously spooned it.
Well, that's it. Even if he didn't spoon it, he's got a hell of a chance of saving it because he's going that top sort of top right. But you're right, sometimes it leads to confusion. If you're facing someone and you're saying sort of like, he's going top left, then you don't know, well, is that your left or my left?
Yeah.
It stops all the confusion, like, you know.
When you were playing, did you have that level of knowledge, or were you having to read the player, read the ball?
Towards the end, it got a bit easier to sort of research players, but most of it was down to the research done by coaches. But I mean, now, just the level, the level of, it's not just the research and homework that goes into it, but then it's kind of like then trying to distinguish patterns. Do the players put in a certain area? Does it depend on what timing of the game it is? Is it early in the game? Is it late in the game? Are they getting beat? Are they winning in the game? Are they playing away or home? There's all these sort of like layers that you put on top of it that can think, well, in this certain specific time, this is where he's going to go. Like, just to narrow it down a little bit more, but still, though, it's
We talked about it when we had Glenn on, who was basically Braintree's goalkeeping coach, and he
at the time he's at West Ham Ladies now.
Is he at West Ham?
Yeah, we'll get him
He went from Chillingham, so he was goalkeeping coach at Chillingham. Is that right?
Yeah, and he left there to go to West Ham, and I think
West Ham.
We'll get him on because it's a really interesting subject.
The great thing about the women's football this season is that it's fully professional. All the teams that are in the top league are all fully professional, which is great. And actually, my girlfriend did a piece on it for the Sunday Times. There's a link there. I'll put it on the thing. But that's great. But he was goalkeeping coach at Braintree, and when I think we told this story before. Went and gave that lad, the Millwall keeper on loan, the information. Porrick Hammond saw that and was like, "Oh right, he's told him
put it somewhere else
and put it somewhere else." Mm. So yeah, he's at all levels. Alisson, obviously, he had that little bit of a shocker against Leicester, and we've talked about that. You know, you take those chances, and every now and then it won't come off.
Yeah.
But apart from that, he's been, especially against the Chelsea game. Do you know what I mean, closing down Hazard? Do you know what I mean, could have scored two or three.
Yeah.
He's strong
in one-v-one situations, really strong.
We talked a lot about Karius last season and the capers and calamities that happened there. It seems a very calm ship there. They obviously firmed up the back four as well at Liverpool. He played Lovren instead of Who did he take out?
He took out Trent Alexander-Arnold. Yeah, he took out Gomez right back. Yeah.
But that back four with him, it looks like a completely different team.
Yeah.
And I think that back four, the mentality is they're going, oh, we've got one of the best keepers in the world behind us.
Yeah, it's also the mentality and the calmness of Virgil van Dijk, because I think sometimes they need it. Because, as you know, you watch Jurgen Klopp's an unbelievable manager, don't get me wrong, and it might, you know, I'm loath to criticise him, but sometimes at the side of the pitch, when things aren't going right on the pitch, you need cool heads.
Yeah.
You know, and the way that Liverpool play, I know they say it's like heavier metal football, but sometimes you need a sort of bit of classical.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
you know that better than anybody.
So
when they, you know, when he did make that mistake, you don't need a manager ranting and raving and throwing his arms up in the air and, you need somebody to keep a cool head, and that's what the both of them are doing.
Yeah.
Him and Virgil van Dijk have just been brilliant, not just for the defence, but for the whole team.
Arsenal are currently in fourth. There's been a lot of talk over the last few days. Ian Wright came out and was like, I don't really want to be talking about Arsenal. I just want them to go under the radar and do well. They have been doing well, and I think a lot of it is...
Was that a Cockney accent you tried to do there? It was a bit wild.
Of Ian Wright?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I've
been in the gym with Wright for the last...
You start moving the shoulders and everything.
I go same gym as Ian Wright.
Do you?
Yeah. I gave him a towel.
Not as often, though.
Oh! What a prick. And I won't edit it out, because I want you to know that David Priest is a bully. Petr Cech got injured, but Leno came in, and he's been doing pretty well, hasn't he?
Well, that's it. We've not seen anything of him up till that moment, so there's a lot of speculation thinking then, well, you see what was happening with Petr Cech, with the way that it was playing out. He was having a bit of trouble. Other than that, he'd been playing brilliantly.
Yeah.
You know, from traditional goalkeeping wise, he was, you know...
Shot stopping.
Yeah, he was brilliant. But he's having some teething problems with it, with the way they're playing. But it wasn't just about him, it was about the defenders. Socrates wasn't really comfortable playing out from the back as well.
Socrates, is that what you're calling? Not Socrates?
Well, I'll...
That is interesting.
I think it's Socrates.
You go for it, mate. You've gone with it, confidence.
Yeah.
But I think what Unai Emery has done is he's not dropped a lot of people straight away. He's not gone in. He's done it slowly over a period of time. Yeah. And Petr Cech was one of those... You know, he was concrete. He was there. He has been at Arsenal since signing from Chelsea. And he'd been solid. Yeah, he's getting older, but so is everyone. Mm. So is everyone. And I think it's a good call. Obviously, it's like anything. You know what I mean? You look at the amount of injuries and stuff that's happened, especially last season. Look at like Nick Pope, you know what I mean? Coming in for Tom Eaton. And then Joe Hart, which we'll come on to in a minute, coming in for Nick Pope. And people just slotting in. And Bert Leno is one of those that's... The time's happened. He's come in and he's just fitted in really calmly.
It's probably worked out really well. It's given Berlino a chance to ease himself into it, just to get used to his surroundings, and he hasn't looked like a keeper struggling for form or confidence, and it looks very assured. Of course, you know, you pay 20 million for a goalkeeper, whatever it was, you know, you expect that. But what's afforded them the luxury of being able to have this situation is that they've been winning games.
Yeah.
And if they were losing games, there'd be so much pressure. Well, and there would have been more pressure to drop Petr Cech, maybe from the fans. But as I said, it's worked out. It's worked out brilliant for them.
Going from Arsenal to Tottenham. Tottenham currently in fifth. They've had a few goalkeeping issues on and off the pitch. Lloris injured.
Yep.
But also was arrested for drink driving. He came out, publicly apologised, said we shouldn't have done it. Yeah. That still hasn't been put to bed, so there's still going to be a bit of fallout from that. Vorm came in his space, didn't really have the greatest of games when he came in.
Or as I like to call it, his nickname to me is Luke.
Luke Vorm. That is good.
Isn't it?
Like your humour.
Yeah. and to be fair to him, he was very lukewarm when he came in as well.
Talking about like someone coming in and doing well and... Again, it was just the fact that they lost. And obviously they've had quite a few injury problems, Tottenham. In the middle of the pitch, really. I mean, so they haven't had that stability.
But this is the thing. I mean, they haven't had a great start of the season. There's been a lot of sort of question marks over why they didn't bring anybody in the summer and whether the squad's good enough to sustain...
But they're still fifth.
They're 2 points off the top.
Yeah.
Have they got 18 points?
18 points, yeah.
So it's not a bad crisis to have that, like...
Lloris's form. What have you got anything to say on
that? Yeah, well,
this,
it's obviously he's come off the back of a brilliant World Cup. All right, he made that mistake in the final, but I mean, I think if I'd won the World Cup, I wouldn't be bothered about that. But yeah, there's been a lot of question marks over him the past 18 months, and he didn't have a great season last year. Maybe that's doing him a disservice. He didn't have the same season as he's had before. He hadn't the same levels as he reached before. And he was making mistakes. And then coming back, last thing he needed was all this off the field problems. And it's going to affect him.
Yeah.
Do you mean it is going to affect him? It's a horrendous thing that he's done. He's been lucky that nothing else has come for that. The only thing that's hurt has been his career and his pride. And he's been lucky that nobody else was harmed in what he did. So, and what will come to him from, you know, has he been sentenced or court? Obviously, he's been charged. So, he'll get dealt with in the courts. Yeah. And people talking about he should be stripped from the captaincy and he should have been dropped and all that. But, well, like I said, I'm one for let the courts deal with that. If they decide, you know, whatever they decide, then that's fair enough for me. But it's clearly affected him. And against Barca the other night, it just showed a bit of rushiness. And I think when you've got things that are going on in the background, in the back of your head, it can go two ways. Sometimes that being on the pitch can be a sanctuary for you, and just take all those problems away and give you a bit of that focus can benefit you. Or
it can be a microscope and everything.
And just magnify everything and mess with your decision making. And he really didn't look comfortable at all.
I don't want to speak out of turn, but has he plateaued, Lloris? Have we seen the best of him, or do you think he'll still? You know, do you think we'll get to see what we saw of him a few years back?
He's not performing at his maximum level.
Yeah.
But that's still better than most.
Really?
Yeah. And in all his decisions, you know, people just saying that he's not a good goalkeeper, and it's a ridiculous comment to make, really. And I know, you know, we're here sometimes to criticise and analyse.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of his, like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, another good-looking goalkeeper.
He is until he smiles. I think if he keeps his mouth shut, I think he looks attractive. But I don't know why when he smiles, then I don't know why. It's a bit like
if you went out with him, he'd want to be moody the whole
time. Yeah, a moody Frenchman. Do you know what I mean?
Hugo, but no smile.
Hugo, yeah. But have you ever seen it about there was an interview with Marko Arnautović and him saying that why he's so moody? He says, well, he can't smile. And he tried to smile and he literally can't smile. It's almost like his mouth is too small and tight that he can't sort of like, it can't sort of broaden or can't stretch. He can't smile at all. Watch it. If you ever, you can't see him smile.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, I tell you, there'll be someone that is smiling at the moment, David, and that is Asmir Begovic. So, the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, currently occupied. Yeah, I was supposed to put that on mute. That's come in too early.
All right, Kevin.
But
this is the number one podcast.
I'll mute that. It's because we're doing it a different way around. Oh, that's a laugh, isn't it? Probably shit me up as well. Yeah. I was like, what's going on there? Oh, it's the theme tune. Yeah, 6th to 9th, currently occupied by Bournemouth, Wolves, Man United and Watford. Now, you'd expect Man United to be in the top 10. I don't really want to discuss Man United today. I don't think there's anything to really talk about.
I don't think so. From David De Gea's point of view, the only thing is, from his point of view, is that it's his contract situation.
Yeah. It's just deja vu every single season. Always saying this, he's saying that. And then it's always, is he going to go? Where's he going to go now?
Well, I think.
But I want to go back to Bournemouth, if that's all right. Asmir Begovic.
Yeah.
Bournemouth won 4-0 at the weekend. They had a few dodgy results on the way, but they're sixth.
Mm. Brilliant.
That's great, isn't it?
He's
made some good saves. I mean, have kept Bournemouth in it.
Yeah, and I think it's probably, I don't know, sometimes you want recognition, but it's probably a good thing that he's a game talk about flying under the radar. That, you know, everything's sort of talking about Ryan Fraser, they're talking about Callum
Wilson,
they're talking about Josh King, they're talking about the players that scoring the goals. And Asmir is probably not getting the credit he deserves. I mean, you know, he's obviously playing his part as well. And he deserves that as well. Like, you know, cause, I mean, from the promising time that he had under Tony Pulis, Tony Pulis' store, and then obviously went to Chelsea. Understand why he went to Chelsea, because, you know, it's a chance to play.
He won the Premier League, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a chance to play Champions League football. And then at Bournemouth, club with ambition, you know, and it was always going to take time to build, and he'll be a part of that for years to come. And yeah, they look like they're having a
well, he's good. They've got a really experienced goalkeeper there. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think it was just the perfect signing for him. Obviously, Artur Boric is still there fighting for a place as well. And if Asmir were to go injured, you know that you've got someone else who could step in that's already been playing, you know, Premier League and knows what to do. But I think it's great, you know, someone that took a gamble of going, right, I'm going to leave Chelsea then to go to Bournemouth, and it's kind of like it's paying off at the moment. Another goalkeeper that took a gamble, currently in 7th in the Premier League, Rui Patricio. Now, if you'd have said this time last season, oh, you know the guy that won the Euros with Portugal, he'll be living in Wolverhampton, you go, nah. Doing Spice Lloyd.
I mean, no disrespect to Wolves, but I'm not sure. I don't know where he'd be living. But
It'll probably be Birmingham, won't it? Yeah, or somewhere in the country.
They're just fantastic to watch.
They are great to watch. They are really, really good to watch. And what's compelled by the fact that you've got a world class goalkeeper playing for Wolves at the back, who has pulled off some incredible saves this season.
He has, but the biggest part for me is, I mean, was the great save against Man City? Top man.
On the bar? Yeah.
But I just think that a lot of time he just makes things look so simple and so easy. And obviously that's a sign of a great goalkeeper. He doesn't look panicked. He doesn't look overextended. He's just pure class.
Just delivers it. Man United, we've chatted about that. Watford, you've been down with the boys.
Yeah.
We talked at the end of last season, and I think we talked about the last podcast.
They got beat, didn't they? Off Bournemouth. Did they get beat 4-5?
4-0.
4-0, yeah.
I think it was 4. Was it 4 or 5? I can't remember, because they went down to 10 men, didn't they?
Yeah, early on. So it was like, yeah, the curse of priests.
Yeah, the curse. Yeah. Please don't go.
So it's if anyone's their rival club to lose.
Hey, can you go back to Lincoln as their goalkeeping coach? But again, we've talked about it. Ben Foster, he was responsible for West Brom not going down as early as they did earlier than they could have done last season. You know, we talked about the saves of the face and stuff, and it's been a bit of a renaissance, I think, going to Watford, new lease of life. You know, been given the number one spot, even though West 26 above Gomez, and he's really been embracing it. And you could see when, you know, they lost 4-0, obviously they were a man down as well. But he was properly passionate. He was angry.
It was one of the goals where sort of like just a last ditch save. So he like just flings himself across the goal. He managed to just keep it out. And then somebody just comes and taps it. It's awful.
And then
when that happens,
by the time that they'd scored, he was properly in the back of the net. Yeah, he'd thrown himself at it. But again, Foster, and someone that you kind of think, if there were any like problems with the England goalkeepers, any injuries, you go, well, do you know what? You'd half expect him to be able to just pop back in.
Well, this is it, and you know, it's been great the last couple of seasons, just got most Premier League goalkeepers and just seeing them real close up and managing to go and watch them train and see how they're training. And Ben Foster's one of them who's really impressed us because he's just effective. And like you said about him being big, and yeah, he's big, but he's solid and he's effective, yeah. Like, you know, and that's it, the way that he's actually so bubbly in that, he just it's a great asset for a goalkeeper to be like that.
Do you think Gomez will be happy? Was he happy?
Not really. But I mean, he's and I wouldn't have been happy. I don't know whether he went with injuries last season, but I still can't believe that Cornetta's played ahead of him last season. I mean, Cornetta's got a loan move to Napoli at the moment.
Yeah, so I
still can't believe that, but he'll have been disappointed to have sat on the bench, but especially when you've got a keeper like Ben Foster in front of you, you know, it's going to be difficult for him to get back on the side. But like I said, he looked in great shape, and if they do need him, you know, they're going to be all right. Yeah.
The next team I want to talk about, and we chatted about it briefly, Burnley.
Yeah.
Obviously, they had a number of injury issues, and we talked about Joe Hart coming in and what will happen when Nick Pope comes back fit and Tom Heaton comes back fit. But Joe Hart is having probably the best season he's had since the penultimate season at Man City.
Yeah, he definitely having a good run of form. He's certainly having a lot to do as well, which helps.
Short sleeves as well. He's gone short sleeves.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
So too has Leno. Sorry, I should have meant Leno. Leno's gone short sleeves. But Joe Hart's obviously, he's something's changed, hasn't it?
I think it's the pressure off now. There's no expectation anymore. You know, he's kind of down at Cardiff the other week. You know, you've got I don't know. I think Cardiff fans were singing England's number five.
Number four.
It should have been five, but
yeah.
No, I'm doing Jordan. Yeah, he's doing really well, and that's the thing. You know, when you're seeing the criticisms has come his way, is that he's been too uptight, too tense before games, and now he just looks like he's enjoying his football.
Yeah,
and playing for Burnley, it's going to allow you just to concentrate on solely just goalkeeping. He's not. You know, it was again against Cardiff. You know, he had to come for a lot of crosses, deal with them.
Yeah.
Some didn't get there. Some of them, but it's great that he just kept coming and dealing with things.
And the goal weren't his fault as well. Which I think, if you look back at it, you can go, "Oh, that's good." You can, you know, it was a team problem there on that one.
Yeah, exactly. But he kept them in. He cut great save down to his left as well.
The interview afterwards, he basically stated that "Oh, actually, I'm happy because I'm a little bit settled. I've been kind of away. I didn't really know what was going on out on loan, but now I know that for the time being I'm here."
I think for one season that's all right. You can get your head around it, and then you go somewhere else on loan. You know that's only another 12 months, and slowly it sort of ends up grinding you down a little bit. Like, you know,
when Nick Pope and Tom Heaton come back and they're fit, what does Sean Dyche do?
Tough question, that.
Thank you.
You'd have to think one of them's going after. To leave
completely,
yeah.
January window, all three goalkeepers are fit, and you've got Anders Lindegaard, who doesn't really.
Well, this is it. I mean, I know Anders as well. Like, you know, it's even tougher position for him to be in, because obviously, whereas he played in the UEFA Cup at the start of the season,
came on against Aberdeen, didn't he?
Yeah, came against Aberdeen. Started against Aberdeen in the second leg.
Yeah,
did all right. Looked composed. Looked like he. Or didn't look like he hadn't played for a long time, and then all of a sudden you play well, and then you're back to fourth choice. You know, it's difficult, like, you know. So it's
more potentially fifth.
Yeah, exactly. Aye. So it's difficult for him more than the others. But yeah, you'd have to say that one of them would have to leave. It's all right. I mean, you've got to have good. You've got to have strength and depth, and you've them Southampton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have your squad of goalkeepers, your top three goalkeepers.
Yeah.
But I mean, especially at that age, you've got three keepers who are still young enough to have number one ambitions. They're not young players who are happy to be there. They're not all players who are just settling. You know, just sloping off into the distance and retirement. So it's a problem, but. It's a great problem for them. A
couple more people to talk about. Fabianski, he damaged limitation last season at Swansea, and I think
he's been this season as well.
He's been brought in to do the same job.
Yeah.
You know, obviously when you're signed, you're not expecting that, but you know, we are 8 games in, and he's obviously gone, right, I've got to do exactly the same thing, because he saved a number of shots last season. His stats were very good at the end even though obviously Swansea went down. But it's not looking great at West Ham at the moment.
It's not. I mean, obviously they've got a great result against Man United, which changed things a little bit. But he's just been as solid as ever. And I think sometimes the best bit of advice that coaches can give to their goalkeepers, when things aren't going well for the team, you have to just look after yourself.
Yeah.
Because I think, of course, you can have influence over what's in front of you now. If you through communication, your positioning, and your decision making to come for things, yeah, you can protect your goal that way before the ball gets to the goal. But sometimes, like I said, you've got to be selfish and just think about yourself and just think about your own game and concentrate on your own game and don't try and get involved in what's happening with referees, what's happening with players. What, you know, if players aren't performing in front of you, try not to get wrapped up in that and allow yourself to get it sort of. I don't know what word am I looking for.
I think it's just because you've got to play your own game. It's, you know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you what. When it was a perfect example of that was I can't remember who they were playing, but Stoke played a game a few weeks back and they got beat, and then there was talk of Jack Butland's with Shaw crossing the tunnel of an altercation, and you could see when the goals were going in, you see him getting sort of distressed and sort of kicking posts and shouting at people and things like that. Sometimes you just got, like I said, that can be, for the next 5-10 minutes you could lose your head.
Yeah.
But in that 5-10 minutes, that could mean conceding another goal because you've lost your head, and it's just important that you're concentrating yourself. And it's settled, things have settled down at Stoke as well for Jack, but it's something that I'd always say, that be a little bit selfish in those situations, and you know, as long as you're doing your job, then nobody can sort of point the finger at you.
Last two keepers that we're going to just quickly discuss. Marcus Bettinelli at Fulham reinstated himself as number one.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of uncertainty. He came in, I think the last four games he's now played, and he's been doing all right.
He has, but I mean, but Fulham haven't.
That is
the problem. And when you think that they brought two first choice goalkeepers in Sergio Rico and Fabbri, and put both of them in, neither of them are playing now, and they're bringing a goalkeeper who has never started the season as a number one. So it's a bit of a strange situation. We talked about before about Jose Sambade, the goalkeeper coach.
He's left.
That doesn't help either. So you've got a new coach that will come in. I'm not sure who that is yet. Maybe you should have a look at that. But so that's what's going to help the situation, because he's got to get to know you. You've got to get to know your game. You've got to get to know their styles as well. So there's a bedding period there. But
England call up as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's great for him as well. It's a boost. It is for confidence, for his ego and that. And it's great that the team's not having the best time, and there's probably is another goalkeeper in, maybe Joe Hart, who's in better form.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it's his style of playing, the way that he plays, that Gareth Southgate recognised that, and it fits where what he wants to do. So why not get him involved and have four goalkeepers? So if you have injuries, then they're familiar with the squad.
Another Welsh team in trouble. Swansea last year, Cardiff currently bottom of the Premier League. And Neil Etheridge, I mean, he's having his work cut out at the moment, isn't he?
He is, and he's had a great start. A couple of, obviously saved a penalty on his debut, saved another penalty against,
I can't remember who that was.
Newcastle?
Maybe, it doesn't matter.
I think Newcastle missed the penalty. Anyway, and he'd, he's been making saves, but that game against Burnley, it was just a prime example of just what I've been talking about keeping focused and not letting yourself get distracted in the game. There was a long ball over the top that his centre half thought he should have come and taken. He didn't come out, stayed in his line, let his defender deal with it, and then he had the defender shouting at him shouting back at the defender, another defender getting involved, shouting at him, and then while this is going on, Burnley preparing to throw a ball in the box, and it ends up getting flicked on from the near post, and Goodmunson puts it in the back stick. So that happens. And then I think it's a second goal. You can see that sometimes when you're tense and you're anxious, your decision making and your positional sense goes awry. And you just see that again, it comes in from the left and he's beyond his near post. He shouldn't be there. And the ball gets flicked on and inside. and he's out of position. He's got no chance for the second one. And I'm not saying that he would save the second shot, which leads to the goal. But if he's far more concentrated and clearer ahead and he's in a better position, then he'd give himself a better chance of saving it. And it's the same with the goal that Goodmanson, it slips in that he's near post. Now, it goes in that little sort of, you've got weak spots as a goalkeeper when the ball's hit around you and go through your legs, down by your sides, under your arms here.
Yeah.
You know, that's a weak spot, over your shoulders. So it can go through you, but I just thought it wasn't helping anybody. I'm not blaming him for that, but his defenders, it was dealt with. The ball went on the top, he didn't come for it. The defender got the ball first, he's kicked it away. Doesn't matter. Talk about it in the dressing room. You know, instead of shouting at each other, and then, like I said, the ball comes in, your head's all over the place, you're not concentrating. Before you know it, you're 2-1 down, like, you know, or 2-0 down, I think it was at the time. So it is just about keeping focus during the game and not letting emotion take over.
Who has been the goalkeeper that has stood out for you so far this season? We're 8 games in.
I got asked this question yesterday, and Paul Coit, I was doing TalkSport 2 with. He just sprung at me as well.
All right, well, then you've had 24 hours.
I mean, out the ones we've. Do you know what? Neil Etheridge first. Really? I know we just spoke about them, but in the game against Burnley, but it's great for him, for someone like him who sort of like. I think he went out the full time game a little bit. He was playing non league and then came back in. And, you know, his first season in the Premier League. Thing he was brought in from QPR.
Yes, the guy from QPR whose name
is it Huddersfield. Oh man, yes. Come on, we're supposed to know these things, man.
Smithies,
Alex Smithies.
Didn't even Google it.
He came in, and I certainly thought he was coming into play. Obviously, he hasn't played yet. Neil's come in, and he's obviously been doing. Neil Warnock. I mean, if Neil Warnock wouldn't be happy with him,
he'd be out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so he'd be living in Swansea.
Yeah, exactly. So it's. I think he's had a decent start. What for? We said before. I think he's had a good start, and it's been it is a baptism of fire because they were never going to. I don't think Cardiff are ever going to stand a chance of staying up this season.
Really?
No, not at all. But I just think. It's wise, you know what I mean? Last time they came up, they blew loads of money, they had a bad financial situation, and they nearly went bust.
Yeah.
So it's the sensible thing to do, and if they're getting enough credit out of these games so far. The only way they're going to, you can see them beating Derby's fewest points, I think was it 9 points? 8 points? 9 points?
Was it?
Is to grind out draws, but I can't see them doing enough to stay up though.
I'm going to spring another question on you.
Go on then.
I don't care. If you had to go out for dinner with one Premier League goalkeeper all night, who would it be?
Well, I wouldn't take Hugo out with us because I think he probably should stay at home.
Okay,
yeah. So we'll say that. He'd do with it a night in, I think, at home, watching the, you know, Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
This is a good one. Do you know what? I would go out with Alisson.
Yes.
And
that's what I was going to say.
I was going to say Alisson, and then. That's twofold, so it can either say I get a lot of people saying, oh, is this your brother?
Very arrogant, but yeah. Go on.
Is this no, but the
people, younger, better looking brother.
He'd be my younger, better looking brother, obviously, yeah. And then secondly, just get a few of the chest downs from him, do you know what I mean? Yeah. He'll just knock a few down for you to finish, you know? I mean, if I was single, that's what would happen.
Oh, right, that's why I thought you were about food, but that's fair enough. Yeah. Thank you for listening. We're going to have to wrap this up in a minute. As I said, we've got key rings, which they're in the living room. I can show you in a minute. And we are going to give a key ring away. Yes, yeah, you absolutely can. Yeah, you're allowed. I paid for them. We're going to give a key ring away to a person that has given us a lovely 4 or 5 star review. Yes, this is bribery. Tell me when to stop, Pre-C.
Stop.
Okay, and it has gone to Paisy. Okay, let me read out the thing called Paisy, who says, heavyweight yet surprisingly agile, imposing yet gentle to the touch. This ticks all the boxes. Good work, chap. So, Paisy, if you could DM us, we'll send you a keyring over. Preesy has just picked up what is a table ornament on there.
Well, can I firstly make a statement?
Yeah. He's picked up a brass crab, which is.
Can I just say to everyone that the rumours were true?
Lloyd Brothers has crabs.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's actually crab singular, but fair enough, yeah, mate. Crab. Not a problem. So we're going to end this podcast with David Priest basically taking a photo of the crab that is on our dining room table. Yeah, it was a present.
She's lovely.
My girlfriend calls it Mr. Krabby.
Mr. Krabby.
So there you go. Well, listen, that is the podcast for today. Tweet us if you've got any suggestions, any questions. We'll get the keyring over to Paisy. Anything else to add, or are we all
no,
right?
No, no, just, I mean, I feel like you've liked us because, I mean, I see that now and you told me you didn't have any nippers.
Oh, it is just non-stop bile. Thank you for listening. I've been Lloyd Griffith. Goodbye.
I've been David Priest. See you later.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.